everybody. This is broadcast. Woo! It is a very exciting day. I have a full studio today. Mike Specht and Stephanie Tierney, thank you for joining me in the booth. Say hello.
What's up?
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This is neat.
You, welcome to the hour of broadcast, 100% FemCon as usual. And last hour was Mike Specht's show doing it live. And we're live here too. We're live all the
doing
time.
It, always doing it live.
Always doing it live.
On local FM.
We just heard from Papier, which is a band that I just listened to today. This is brand new even to me. They're a French band. And I think they're kind of fun, kind of 80s. We were talking about their clothing choices on the album cover. I like it, but I like acid wash jeans. That's just my steez.
But not only are they acid wash, they're like mom jeans.
They're
too.
Super high waisted, yeah. Which, but they look so cool.
The intensity factor.
They look the two women and the guy from Papier. They look like the type of people, like if I ran into them at a party, they would ignore me and I'd be too nervous to talk to them.
Well, that
you know
makes
what
sense.
I mean? And like just be those types of people that you're like, that are unidentifiably cool and you don't know like if they even have like a day job.
But if you lived in Montreal, maybe you would dress like that more.
I would probably turn it up fashion-wise if I lived in Montreal. Yeah. But maybe I should just start applying that to St. John.
Oh, kinda. Just think about leaving St. John every now and then.
It's a horrible thing to say on our St. John radio station. I will never leave this place as far as the radio station is concerned. As far as you're concerned, I've never left.
No, you haven't.
I was born here and never been out of New Brunswick, according to Mike Specht.
I think you might have made it to Rothsay one time or got close and turned around. Something
you
like
know
that.
Very little about me for someone who's been friends with me for like a year and a half.
Yeah, I think I just went over to your place for the first time in a year of knowing you.
That was true. I did invite Mike over for the first time ever. And it was horrible. And
terrible.
I actually left before you.
I was just
left
hanging out there.
Yeah. I left in there with my friend and my boyfriend and went to a different party.
It was awesome because they just let me touch everything after you left. Like,
what
I
do
just
you mean?
Went,
ew.
Just put my hands on everything in the apartment, you know?
I
just
think you need to expand on that because otherwise
room by
it's
room.
Kind of creepy.
Room by room? Just, there's only three rooms.
Yeah, just wanted to, you know, just, you know, kind of imprint.
Touch, Michael?
Imprint my hands.
Did you go into my drawers?
Okay. I'd like to see them as our drawers at this point.
I'm getting a restraining order. Like, please. I don't know how office life is going to happen after you have to stay 10 feet away from me at all times. But
well, you know, I guess one time was too many for me to come over and hang out. But joke's on you because, I mean, you shouldn't have left.
I guess I shouldn't have left, but I was going to our one of our programmers, Emily Cross, was going to her birthday party.
Oh, nice.
And it was an all-female event.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier that day was our first Women's Collective meeting, so I was very much in a, like, all I want to do is be around a bunch of women.
Mm. And you had asked Emily at the time if it was okay to bring me to the party, and no. It was not.
I actually phrased it like Mike wants to come to the party.
Oh, really?
Or
no.
Is it an old girl thing? And she, I'm not throwing her under the bus here. It really was like an old girl thing. But no, I just wanted to be around a big group of ladies. Because, the Women's Collective thing is underway. I'm the Women's Collective coordinator, as you guys know.
Mm-hmm.
And this next Saturday, we're going to have our second meeting. This meeting's going to be a lot more official. This is on the 23rd of April. It's when we're going to vote in our executive, which is really exciting. And thank you, Stephanie, for all your help with the Women's Collective. We're going to shoot into fame.
It's not a saying. People don't say that.
Thank you for undercutting me at every moment.
That's why I'm here.
No. And also, everybody out there, stay tuned for an upcoming collective curated radio show, which will be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to hear more of my shrill, over-caffeinated voice.
I'm sure it'll be a smashing success.
It will be a smashing success. We're going to get famous people on it. Like, Grimes is going to come visit St. John. We're going to get Mariah Carey. All the famous.
Taylor Swift.
That would be
amazing. We'll throw Mike Specht a bone and bring Taylor Swift in for
that.
You.
I like the throw a bone line as well, too. It's just combining a lot of my loves. So I appreciate that.
Oh, I see. I thought you were taking that in a euphemistic
place. No. To you? No.
No, no.
Heavens, no.
Anyway, I'm just going to move right along and play some Black Mountain. And this is a band that's new to me, new to everybody, new to the Playbox. And we're going to check that out. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Stay tuned for the next hour of 100% FemCon with Abigail Smith, and I'm joined today by Stephanie Tierney and Mike Specht.
Once the waking up can take its toll. Diligence and dimes and nickels, the power of small changes for gold. What does it take to get ahead? You're born, you work until you're dead. Spend your dollars, do your work, nothing to rule the earth. Spend your dollars, do your work, nothing to rule the earth. True, you are mine.
Welcome back, Mike Specht, Abigail Smith. That's me. That's my name.
That is your name.
We just heard from Roco Code with their song Banks. And before that, Motel Raphael, which is a new addition to the Playbox here. They are, I think, from the Prairies. They're actually blowing up right now. And that was their song Wealthy Men, which is, if you, excuse me, if you check out the lyrics, it is very political
mm-hmm.
about how wealthy men control the world.
Wow. That's, it's definitely a poignant track. And you had mentioned as well that you hadn't played that band before, right? And, like, nobody had touched that CD in the Playbox just yet, so that was the first play on local FM.
That's true. It's always nice to break in CDs mm-hmm. like that, yeah. you know? Up next is a band called Milktoast, which is my favorite name for a band. That's amazing.
Your favorite food, right?
My favorite food, aside from milk steak.
Yeah, milk steak and ghouls.
For It's Always Sunny fans out there, we can talk about It's Always Sunny. It's FemCon. It's
fun. Well, I was talking with my roommate Etienne, who, as you know, is the perfect,
the love of your life,
human specimen,
perfect and yeah, person, actually.
Yeah. But the intro to my old show used to be Dayman. I would play that as
lead
into my show.
I had no idea.
So I'm thinking about reincorporating that into my show, doing it live. Because currently my intro is Bill O'Reilly screaming. And then some club horn, which might be a bit abrasive.
It's very masculine. I don't know. I really like the Bill O'Reilly yelling.
Yeah.
I find it, I think I've talked about this before, I find that whole, like, we'll just do it live thing kind of inspiring. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's not working, just do it. Just wing it.
Yeah, people confused him for being, a bit of a meanie. That's not the term I would use off air.
No.
But that's the best one I could come up with. But yeah, no, he's just a guy who's passionate about his craft. He wanted to get it right, and they couldn't get it right, so he decided to do it live.
Yeah, exactly. It's inspiring. We can all learn from that. I think that while I don't agree with his politics, of course, you know, but that's fine. I think that's a pretty inspiring story.
It really is.
But we're not talking about your show. We're talking about my show.
Yeah, and what is new with your show?
Well, it's probably going to change in the coming months as the Women's Collective show becomes more cohesive. Mm-hmm. Just to talk a little bit about that show, we're still picking out a name, and the show identity is kind of forming as the collective forms. I'm really excited to have more of a news contribution to the show because I think that there is a dearth of feminist-centric news in the Maritimes because they're, like all media in Canada, it's very Ontario-centric.
Mm-hmm.
So we need more of a voice here, I think, because there's lots to talk about.
I mean, especially this is something that, I mean, I've kind of been educated on since I moved out to the Maritimes. The Maritimes are a very interesting place when it comes to feminism and kind of modernizing on certain issues. So, I mean, there's lots of room to report
there's
on things like that.
There's lots of stuff to talk about. I mean, not just specifically with women's issues, but I mean, for example, broadly, a Vice vehicle published an article today about kind of being shocked to find out how horrible abortion access is in New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. And it's always amazing. And it's every single thing. Like whenever like mainstream Toronto centric media discovers something about the Maritimes, they're always shocked. Like when Canada Land did that piece on the Irvings, you know, like when they looked into it, like the host of the show couldn't believe, like, how is this actually happening? How did I not know about it? And it's the same thing with abortion access. People are shocked at how bad it is, and it's even worse, and it looks even comparably worse now because there's abortion access in PEI, and they were the holdouts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that New Brunswick could be like, oh, we're not as bad as PEI, but we can't do that anymore because we're worse.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's a really weird place to live.
Lots of things are worse than New Brunswick.
Pardon?
I say lots of things are worse than New Brunswick.
Worse than New Brunswick?
In New Brunswick.
Oh, in New Brunswick? Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I don't even know the half of it.
Well, I can tell you from a trans perspective that New Brunswick's pretty much the only province that has nothing covered as far as trans support for health and things like that.
Yeah. Did you mention the other day that you can't you can't change the marker on your New Brunswick ID.
That's correct.
The sex marker.
In most other provinces, you can change your gender marker without having gender affirmation surgery.
Sure.
In New Brunswick, you still have to have the surgery in order to change your marker.
I mean, that is a shocking thing to demand of people and also to not, and then to make it so difficult to access if someone actually wanted the surgery. Yeah. And that's something I don't know very much about, but.
Well, they don't cover that either.
Yeah, of course. So what are you supposed to do?
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
You can't.
Push for them to change the laws. Yeah, it's really, the only thing.
And those policies are being questioned. Mm-hmm. And there are people meeting with the health minister, Victor Boudreau, to like get those policies changed. But it's just slow going.
Yeah, of course. Like everything. So. Legislative.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm excited to have, and you talk about this stuff on your show Queer as well, and I'm glad that we're opening up more space at the station to have homegrown coverage of that issue, because I know we syndicate some shows that do a great job.
Yeah.
but it's a matter of
trying to create some excitement and try to get people talking and have people come in and tell their stories and their struggles, their successes. And so that's kind of what I am attempting with Queer, is to have those voices heard.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and I've already had Gloria Halverson was on my show last week, and
that was a great interview.
The second half of the interview is this Monday at 2:00.
Oh, great.
And AJ Ripley, who is a non-binary trans person from Fredericton, is going to be on the show in the coming weeks, months. And Mac McKenzie, the former leader of the St. John chapter of PFLAG, who I'm very excited to talk to. AJ Ripley was in the Vice documentary On Hold. I don't know if you saw
that. That's right. I did see that. Yeah.
So I'm really excited to have them on.
That is going to be a really exciting interview.
So if you're out there listening and you identify as LGBTQ plus and you would like to be a guest on the show or get involved with the station, just contact us.
Yeah, absolutely. We,
localfm.ca.
Yes. And I'm the Women's Collective Coordinator, and Stephanie is the Volunteer Coordinator, and we are here to talk to anyone that would like to speak to us.
Come talk to us.
Come talk. I know we sound so desperate. Please come talk to us.
If not, we're going to come talk to you.
Yeah, if not, we'll find you and just try to go to bed with that knowledge.
Find you and make your voice heard.
Yeah, we're going to give you representation whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I got you off topic.
No, it's great. No, that was you didn't get me off topic. This all feeds into that was just an example, and trans issues are another thing that I think can benefit from more specific coverage than I think that I'm assuming. I just as a third party observer, that sometimes it can get a little vague, but there's real things that you can tangibly see here in New Brunswick that need to be fixed.
There's a story that you told me last week that shocked me as well about a grade school experience that you had. I think this was in Nova Scotia.
Yeah, that was in Nova Scotia. I love this story.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well, if you
go ahead.
Yeah.
So I moved a lot growing up, and one of the places my parents moved me to was Annapolis Royal in Nova Scotia. Beautiful area. I had my grade 8 and 9 years there, and when I entered high school in grade 9, I think a couple months into the school year, they split the class gender-wise. So the girls all went to the library, and we were given a kind of a talk from a woman who specialized with domestic violence, and she was telling us basically, educating us on domestic violence. It got a little bit, the tone of it, while that's a great idea, the tone of it became a little bit like when this happens to you and how to prevent it, and when it does, like very much like not if this happens to you, but like when this is what to do. But the most perverse part of that whole day was that the boys were sent to the gym and they played basketball for 3 hours.
Wow.
And that was, I mean, even as a young person, that was baffling to me, and it made me really upset, especially because the guys were my classmates and my friends. I knew personally that some of them came from domestically abusive households, and everyone would have benefited from that conversation. Mm-hmm. And you pointed out, when I told you the story, Mike, you said, like, you were picturing how different the two genders' attitude were coming back into the classroom for the regular class stuff that we had to do, because the guys are all, they got to play basketball for 3 hours. Yep. They were pumped.
Getting their testosterone pumped up specifically, right? Like, in a very, like, a physical game and all that. And then the women come back, like, all scared, and especially with this attitude of, like, when this happens to you. And yeah. It was, like, and hearing this story, too, it's like, yeah, it was so close to almost a progressive thing had they had everyone in on the conversation. Yeah. And hopefully not a when this happens to you sort of
attitude,
tone.
Attitude, yeah. I mean, prevention is, like... awareness is prevention,
yeah.
But and I'm not faulting the. I'm not. There was a good job for the administration of wanting to offer this conversation, but it definitely shouldn't have been.
And the men should be included, because I mean,
they should be involved. Like,
I went to school in Ontario, and we never had any education like that at all.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, it is probably good to put into schools, and even things like you know, like with domestic abuse, education on consent specifically as well. Because I mean, even that was like omitted from our sexual education. Like, we never really heard anything about that. But these are all like super important things that kids don't get educated on. So yeah, it was just interesting hearing about that. It's like, that was so close.
It was so close. Maybe something. And like, instead, productive. It was like totally damaging.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It actually did harm, yeah. I feel. Mm. I just, that was a very sad day at Annapolis Royal Regional High School. I mean, it is what it is, and I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, I grew up in the dark ages, but it's rural Maritimes can feel like it sometimes, and there was definitely no education about differences in sexuality or consent. My sex ed teacher was basically just completely uncomfortable teaching the subject at all.
Oh, wow.
Of anything. She didn't want to talk about sex, so that was, in the first place, I don't feel that she should have been the person selected to teach, because
imagine what it was like in the 70s.
I mean, you tell us. Or don't.
That's why I still use the word prophylactic.
Oh, really? That word should make a comeback, though, because that's awesome.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
I wonder if the policies have changed, though, as far as, like, that education since you went to high school, which...
Well, yeah, I wonder.
I'd hope so.
I sincerely hope so. I mean, I know that, like, when I was in grade 12, so that would have been 2010, the sexual health clinic at Mount Allison gave Tantramar Regional High School, my high school, a bunch of condoms on like, Sexual Health Awareness Day or something, and the administration felt that was inappropriate and... disposed of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There was a lot of teen pregnancy in my high school, by the way.
I could imagine. Oh, my God.
And I'm not saying that in, like, a discriminatory way, but it was definitely a problem.
Did they not have a nurse that you could go to pick up free condoms?
No.
No?
There was no nurse. Oh,
wow. Yeah, we had that.
It was a very small high school.
Oh, okay.
And very, very New Brunswick. Anyway, I would be really curious to see how those policies have changed in the meantime, because I'm sure that something has undergone reconstruction. I hope so, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just... I mean, I got kind of off track here, but it is an interesting subject. And I love the Maritimes. I don't want it to suck here. Like, but that being said, at the moment, with the way that, like... If I was considering, like, having a daughter in New Brunswick, I would probably move.
Oh, yeah.
If things were going to be exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Not move, but I'd be worried. I mean,
yeah.
And but I'm not having a daughter anytime soon. I just have to worry about myself. But thank you. Thanks again for chatting with me, guys.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having
me. You're smirking, and Stephanie.
I'm still thinking about prophylactics.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, like ours in sex ed in the early 80s, like, I still remember watching videotapes of, like, news about AIDS.
Really?
And, like, when that was, like, first, like...
When it kind of exploded.
Well, yeah. That was, like, in my sex ed class.
Mm-hmm. Well, that must have been... I mean, that was a terrifying time.
It was.
And to be introduced to sex with that lens...
Yeah.
Must have been very unusual.
different times for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not trying to be like, tell us what it was like, or like, yeah. Also, I don't want to. I feel like now I feel embarrassed. Like we're like, because we're talking about how much it sucks, and it's like it's come a long way. But
well, no, I mean just you talking about it today, and now I'm actually curious. Like, what are young kids learning at school? I'm sure they're learning a lot more than we did. But as you said, you were in high school 6 years ago, and that's not that long ago.
It's not,
and they were still doing that to kids. So it's like, yikes.
I feel like. Not much as
I'm not slamming the education system either. I'm just slamming the education system. Mostly like curious about some of the policies that they
I'm gonna wrap this up here because I'm talking way too long about sex ed, but the thing that really stuck out in my mind was that one day in my biology class we got to the section on viruses and the biology teacher had previously worked in a sexual health clinic, and she shut the door and was like, I take this opportunity with every year. I'm going to get in trouble if they know. Like, I'm not supposed to do this. And she basically gave us a sex ed class, and I learned more in that class than... And I was in grade 11. I was appalled by the things that I already should have known about viruses, about, like, protection and... And because she was a scientist. She just like laid it out. Like, this is the reality. And it wasn't uncomfortable. And I couldn't believe like that wasn't what normal sex education was like. She showed us how to put on a condom and everything and on a banana.
If I was smirking earlier too, it's because when you were first starting to talk about that story about the boys being separated from the girls, it made me think of all the times that they would tell the boys to go to this line and the girls go to this line, and how many times I would actually go to the girls' line.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, I was a bit of a space cadet, but I kind of also maybe hinted at like
maybe that was kind of a prediction. Yeah, of course.
No, I used to get in trouble a lot too for it, you know.
Really?
Like, what are you doing? Get over there.
It's so things that that children get in trouble for.
But now it makes me laugh because it's
It's really.
It's like,
Yeah, it's definitely like indicative. You belong in the girl line,
right?
I'm gonna move on to Milquetoast, who I talked about like 20 minutes ago. The band,
delicious,
delicious Milquetoast. But thank you so much for having this discussion with you guys.
Is it milk like M-I-L-K or
Milquetoast? But yeah, thank you again for having this talk with me, guys. I get carried away when I talk about sex education in New Brunswick because it's atrocious.
It's a good way to lose a day.
It's a good way to get me really revved up, especially when I've had the amount of coffee I've had today.
Yeah.
You should try to get somebody in from the...
From the high school?
Yeah, or from the education board to come in and talk.
That would be really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. And I probably...
Opening.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. We should talk about that.
Let's do it.
Moving along to...
Milquetoast,
their amazingly first track on their album. Their album is called Your Band Sucks and Punk's Dead, which is awesome.
Well, after that video we saw online the other day, punk is probably clearly dead.
What video?
The one where the guy like drop kicked the female fan who was
Are we talking about that now?
Herself.
That's what we're not going to let the people listen to Milquetoast.
We'll get into Milquetoast. Look it up on Exclaim if you're interested in seeing just an atrocious video, people out there.
Anyway, the first track on their album is My Boyfriend Went to New York and He Didn't Invite Me. That's a very sad story. So let's listen to Milquetoast. Thank y'all for listening. Sorry I said y'all. I love all my listeners. Send me photos of what you're doing, even if it's weird. You're listening to Broadcast with Abigail Smith, and this is Milquetoast. just heard from Merganser, very creepy, spooky Merganser, from their track Broken Telephone. It's a really, really cool band. I hope that you guys like them too. It's a little bit of a switch in pace for rounding out the hour, maybe like cooling it down a little bit. I'm going to play some more of them to round out the hour for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Broadcast with Abigail Smith. If anyone out there is interested in joining or learning more about the Women's Collective that we are starting, please feel free to contact me. I am at the office all next week doing training for new self-identifying female volunteers that want to get radio ready for our collective curated show. Sunday, the 24th, I will be in the office all day training people, and the week before that, the 18th to the 22nd, is going to be anyone that wants to make an appointment to get trained. Please feel free to contact me at abigail@cfmh.ca. That's abigail@cfmh.ca, and that you can contact me to get set up an appointment to get ready, or just to chat about the Women's Collective, and we can grab a coffee, or you can come up to the station with me. And just to let you guys know, the Women's Collective is not just about radio. We are going to be hosting community programs like anti-oppression workshops and panel discussions. And we also will be curating a bi-monthly zine, which will be very, very fun. And that zine will take artist submissions and writing submissions, fiction or nonfiction, interviews, photographs, drawings, paper dolls, whatever people want to submit. And our next meeting is the 23rd, Saturday 23rd, with the location to be announced, but it's at 4 o'clock. It's most likely going to be in the library. There is a Facebook event of that meeting, and you can check out that event for more information. And please feel free to contact me. Even if you shout me a message on Facebook, I am not a formal person, so I would welcome that. Whatever mode you want to get in contact with me. Also, feel free at all times to pop by the station and hang out near my very messy desk that's usually covered in soup. Sorry, that sounds actually really unappetizing. Thank you all again for listening. And I will keep you all posted on the exciting developments with the Women's Collective. And I know that some really cool things will be coming up soon because it is our 15th year as a radio station. And this is our anniversary, so we are doing a lot of fun programming coming up. I know Stephanie Tierney, the volunteer coordinator, is getting together some archived material from the radio station of old days. Not that old, 15 years, but we are going to have some fun stuff coming up for you guys this summer. Thank you again for tuning in. I'm going to play you guys out with Merganser. I'm Abigail Smith, and I love you all.